Welcome to Canoe. I'm Junior.
And I'm Jordan. We're two pastors, but don't worry, we're not going to preach.
Nah, we think the best conversations happen on a canoe.
Especially ours.
So whether you're on a run, in the kitchen, or on your commute, grab a paddle, hop in the canoe. Let's navigate a river together.
Jordan, since we're in the canoe, I should probably just check in with you. It's accountability. Have you been looking at any Renaissance art lately?
Gosh, dang it. I told you, that wasn't me.
It's totally you. Ugh. You know it.
All right. Well, this is our last podcast before summer.
It's our last podcast of season five.
Season five, yeah.
That's right. And then we'll take the summer off.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to the summer. What's your favorite thing about summer?
Love summer. My hands down, I just love summer nights. Yeah. I live for summer. We live in the Midwest for these short couple months in order to experience
Yeah.
Bliss.
I strung a bunch of like Edison bulbs over my patio.
Yeah, me too.
I love turning those on in the evening.
Fire.
A little fire. Yeah. It's fantastic.
All right, what's your favorite thing about summer?
My favorite thing about summer is also what I hate about summer. I take the doors and the top off my Jeep, so my Jeep is what you call naked. My girls love it. It's a blast. They just love riding, and then if we get stopped at a train, they'll like hop up on top of the Jeep, which is fun.
Well, then
I also have my motorcycle that my daughters love riding on. Problem is if it rains, I'm way too lazy to put all the doors and top back on my Jeep. So if it rains, we're stuck at home all day.
All right. So you love riding naked.
Driving naked. All right. We're in Remnant River. I got to give you the backstory of this. A few hours ago, Jordan and I were in a staff meeting, and usually I give the Devo to our staff, but I asked Jordan to give the Devo, and it's a fantastic Devo. It's like, Jordan, we should talk about that on the podcast. Problem is Jordan was saying one word wrong in the whole Devo called remnant, but he's saying remnant.
Yeah,
so he's been practicing ever since. Remnant.
It was titled
Remnant
River.
Yeah.
And the whole time I just kept saying remnant.
Yeah.
And everyone was looking at me. And I thought they were like giving me wow, powerful. But they're just making fun of me.
Oh, that's the hard part of being a speaker, though. Yeah. Like, I feel like I felt like it was a good sermon on the plagues in Egypt. Yeah. Everybody's just laughing about how I say plagues. So now I wrote a sermon. Literally, I was writing a sermon yesterday and had the word plague in it. And I was like, how do I use another word? Because people are just going to make fun of me the whole time I'm preaching. You know, like national emergency? Is that a good one?
So your dad, my boss, Junior's dad, was sitting next to me as I'm giving this Devo. And I just see him write down the word remnant.
Remnant.
And I was like, oh, wow, that word really got to him.
He was trying to correct you.
Yeah, I thought like he was going to use it in like a future. He came up to me. He's like, hey, I wrote this word wrong because you said it wrong the whole time. So Remnant River.
Yeah. What do we mean by that? Well, we're going to get into that in just a second.
All right. A little caveat, though, before we get into this, Junior. This is probably our most politically incorrect river we've ever done.
It's my favorite. Bring it on.
It's about time.
This is what grinds my gears.
Unspoken prayer requests.
Oh my goodness, they're the worst. And if you're not a Christian, or if you're kind of like new into the Christian realm, here's what this is. Unspoken prayer requests is like when people are praying for each other, like, hey, what can I pray for you for? And they just say, well, for me, I have an unspoken prayer request.
And usually it happens in like a Bible study setting time where you're going around and everyone's sharing
what they want
prayer for.
Yeah.
Right? So someone's like, oh, you know, Jenny is like, oh, my aunt's hip is, you know, broken. She's having surgery. Someone's like, oh, I'll pray for these finances. And then someone will raise their hand and say, oh, I have an unspoken.
Yeah. So then why even say anything?
And you're like, the whole time you're like, what is it?
Yeah, you're like, what kind of juicy, dark thing is going on in your home?
Yeah, I can't even focus on Jenny's hip because I'm too concerned about whatever the heck is behind your dirty closet. Unspoken? Just don't speak it.
That's right, yes.
Don't speak it. God knows.
We don't have to say unspoken. You just leave it unspoken.
That's the word. Unspoken. But also legitimately, how do you even pray for that?
I've had to pray for people's unspoken. Like,
what do you do?
Pray for Jerry's
God. It's always the same. God, you know what's going on,
yeah. And I can't wait to get to heaven so you can tell me.
Solve it. Junior, I don't want to sound the foghorns and scream.
Wait, hold on, foghorns?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a saying, is it?
Yeah, I don't want to sound the horns. It's a foghorn.
Okay, that's new to me. I didn't know they were foghorns. I thought it'd sound the alms. Is that a thing?
Yeah, they sound the alarms.
I don't want to sound the fog alarms.
I like foghorns. We're in a canoe. It's foggy. This is a foggy river. Remnant River is pretty foggy right now.
All right, but here's the alarm that I'm going to sound. I think the world's going to hell in a handbasket pretty fast.
You sound like such an old man right now.
I know, and we were actually talking about this because I think every generation, especially as they get older, thinks that their generation's like the worst and everything's, you know, you see all, or sorry, the generation that's coming next is the worst and they're bringing, you know, the world to hell and all this stuff. And let's just be honest, there's been sin and terrible things in every single generation.
Yeah.
But it is worth noting the evil turn that our culture is taking and things being brought into our world.
Yeah, and I don't disagree with you. So like, what do you mean by it? What are you looking at? What are you seeing?
I was watching Disney Plus. You have Disney Plus?
Yeah.
I was watching
Disney. Get rid of it.
I know. Seriously. I don't. At this point, it's in. So I saw that they. I was trying to look up. You remember the old movie, The Aristocrats?
Yeah, yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
I was trying to find it. Couldn't find it anywhere.
Why?
So I Googled. I said, "Where's The Aristocrats?" Well, it turns out Disney Plus got rid of The Aristocrats.
Yeah.
Dumbo and Peter Pan.
Why?
Because they thought they were racist.
Hold on. Wait. Aristocats are cats. They're racist cats?
There's a Siamese cat in there, and they thought that they was
being... Oh, that was a freaky scene.
That was a freaky scene. And so, say, you know, Dumbo...
Hold on, you're telling me they got rid of Aristocats because of the Siamese... We are Siamese... Go ahead and cancel the canoe now. Look at us. We're just racist for saying that?
That's it. But here was the shocking thing, okay? So they got rid of that for being racist. But then they added a new show called The Little Demon. And it's a cartoon show where a woman gets pregnant by Satan and her 13-year-old daughter is the Antichrist.
And this is on Disney Plus.
This is on Disney Plus.
Hey, at least it's not a racist demon Antichrist.
That's true. So the voice, this is the craziest part though, because they interviewed the actress who plays the little Antichrist. And she was actually a pagan, and in the interview, she said, "I'm so glad that we're putting this show out there because I just love that we're normalizing paganism."
Yeah,
what a beautiful thing, right? To normalize paganism in our society, it's just going to do so much good.
So right now, what you're seeing unfold is you have these pretty major networks that are revealing their agendas, and they're not ashamed about it at all. You're trying to normalize paganism with your kids. We want your kids to feel comfortable around the talk of demons and Satan.
Antichrist.
Knocking up your mom.
Yeah. But here's also why I'm really scared, Junior. The church throughout history is supposed to kind of be this beacon of light. It's supposed to be this voice of reason in the culture that speaks truth to it and pushes this stuff back. And now more than ever, the church is just eating it up.
What do you mean by that?
So the Church of England, this is like John Stott. Came out of the Church of England, part of that. The Church of England now has their first nine binary priests serving openly in the clergy.
And non-binary means they don't have a gender.
Yep, no gender.
They don't
have
anything.
They don't claim a gender.
Pants.
Yep, that's what they claim.
Okay.
Even worse, the Church of England globally, they're now allowing people to pray to God as father or mother. Because now that we have a non-binary priest, we need to have a non-binary God. And so, you know, remember how Jesus taught the disciples to pray with the Lord's Prayer? Apparently, that was all wrong.
Heavenly Mother.
Here's this. This is hits close to home. Right in Bloomington, Illinois, there was a Methodist drag queen. And she now goes around to Methodist churches to give sermons to children.
Wearing drag stuff?
Wearing drag stuff.
Wow.
Talking about gender.
Yeah.
It's demonic.
Yeah.
And so my fear is like, wow, this stuff's being openly accepted into churches, and even some mainstream, really well-known churches are allowing some of this agenda to seep in.
Yeah. Now, Jordan, you mentioned about not sounding the foghorns, which I still like. That's our thing now. We're sounding the alarms. We're not sounding the alarms because the reality is with all this, and what we're talking about here, a lot of it is just so completely disgusting, and I can't even make sense of most of it. But the reality is like none of this is new. In fact, you go back to the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire was absolutely perverted. You know, the wealthy high class owned slave boys as just sex toys. And so none of this is really all of that new. But we are seeing right now is we are seeing culture shift and begin to groom the next generation.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what's happening. You see that with what the voice of the pagan.
Yeah, it's
she's saying, I just want to normalize it. Mm-hmm. Who's watching Disney Plus? Kids are watching. My
That's
kids
right.
are watching Disney Plus.
Yeah, it's the same thing happening. It's a new day. It's the same demons.
Yeah.
Right. It's a new day, but it's the same ideologies that have been pushed.
And so there really is nothing new under the sun. And so, but the problem is the church is like, oh, hey, maybe there is, maybe there's a new form of that we need to kind of speak to. And maybe there, maybe we need to go outside the traditional creeds and roots that we really have as an established Christianity and open up ourselves up to some other stuff.
And what we call this is syncretism.
Yeah.
Syncretism means I'm going to take what scripture says and I'm going to mix it with the culture. So therefore, I'm going to dilute scripture. I'm going to dilute my faith. And instead of seeing God as the higher power whom I submit to and I'm under his authority, now I am going to allow culture, which is absolutely confused and miserable. You look at the statistics of divorce rates and depression and suicide rates. I'm going to let culture now shift my mind and be that final authority, making me even more miserable. Yeah. That's exactly what's going
on. That's syncretism.
That's syncretism. I'm going to mix it together.
Yeah, it's the worship of God blended with ungodliness.
So all that to say, in a way, yeah, we're sounding the alarms or the foghorns, whatever you want to call it. We are sounding the alarms. At the same time, we also understand this is not anything new, but we do need to navigate this. Culture is going for the next generation. Man. Culture is trying to dilute your faith and your worldview. So how do we handle that? That's what we're talking more about. But first, we've got
good news.
Weird, crazy, kooky news. It's canoes.
Junior, as our world so ever declines,
this new Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition comes out every year. Martha Stewart is going to be on the cover.
Of the swimsuit edition?
Of the swimsuit edition. Dang. Now, I'm not advocating for the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition.
But she went from prison
but
to
she
the
goes
sports?
From prison to the front page. Ugh. That's our culture,
they
buddy.
They actually wanted her on the cover of the sports swimsuit?
Yep, and listen, that's one issue I won't be getting. Not if it was Renaissance magazine. No, that's not true.
Actually, funny story. My dad was a pastor, and I remember this growing up. He said, Jordan, he's like, he was telling us a story that he almost got in trouble at work because someone ordered him a subscription to Sports Illustrated for the year.
Yeah.
And so the swimsuit edition naturally comes with the subscription. Well, his secretary had to place the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition on his desk, and she felt like super uncomfortable.
Oh,
so she went
goodness.
And told a bunch of the other pastors, and he got in like big trouble. And he's like, no, I didn't order this. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
That sounds like you last week.
Oh my word.
Look at the Renaissance vlog, I swear.
Like father, like son.
So Jordan, we're calling this Remnant River, but we haven't even talked about what that actually means to be a remnant.
Yeah.
Remnant.
Yeah, I mean, I can barely say it, so I don't know if I'll be able to define it well.
No, remnant. What is remnant?
Here's my best stab at it. I think no matter what, in every culture, there's always a remnant.
Yeah, that's what scripture says.
There's always a group of people who are saying, I am going to stand up and I'm going to stand against the tyranny that's coming into this world.
I'm going to be different.
I'm going to be different.
And I'm going to pay the price for it, but I'm going to be different.
Paul said this referring to Elijah in the Old Testament. Elijah had to stand up and he felt like he was the only prophet. He's like, I'm the only one left doing this right. And Paul says this in Romans. He says, Elijah's saying, Lord, they've killed your prophets. They've demolished your altars. I alone am left and they seek my life. Translation, he's like, I'm doing this all alone. And sometimes we feel like that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe you feel like you're the only one in the office. Maybe you feel like you're the only one in your family. Maybe you feel like you're the only one and in your school who is actually standing up and believing truth.
Yeah, but it's not true. And there is a remnant.
That's right. And Paul says, what was God's reply to Elijah? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace.
I remember my dad even said that to me a couple weeks ago because we were just talking about like just how culture is turning and I was talking about my daughters. And he's like, there will always be a remnant though. There will always be a remnant of people who will not bow the knee to culture, but will follow God.
Yeah. It's one thing I do actually with my boys every Sunday. We kind of do a little recap of the week. We kind of have some fun. We play some games. And then after that, we get on our knees and we actually bow. And it may sound kind of weird, but we say we bow to Yahweh. We say I wrote this little thing, and my boys, they're a little cute. You can hear the little voices. They say, we only bow to Yahweh. And then they'll like bow. It's really cute. But I want them to know, and I want them to be in their hearts, that the world and tons of different things and ideologies are going to try to win their hearts and affections.
Right.
But we only bow to Yahweh.
And it's a lot of times going to come disguised as like a fun little thing, cute little thing. Oh, it's a Disney Plus show, whatever. Or maybe a really good movement that has some good elements to it. But a lot of times what it does is it takes us away from Yahweh. So how do we stay in that remnant? We want to be, and that's in most of our hearts, right? We want to be that remnant that stays true, that doesn't bow our knee. How do we do that? Well, we've got a couple thoughts. Number one, know your Bible.
Know your Bible. I think part of the reason that all this garbage is infiltrating churches is because, Junior, I would call it a national crisis of biblical literacy.
Yeah.
People don't know their Bibles.
They don't. And two, let me just add to that. So there's actually two types of people in the churches. Is number one, you have people who are just completely like anemic, Bible illiterate.
Yeah.
But then you have those who are Bible literate and they're just friggin' critics.
Yeah.
Just criticizing everything because they believe that the theology that they have grasped now gives them like, they turn into a Pharisee, really. Yeah. Now they can just like start critiquing everybody in church, especially the leadership.
Yeah, and you, if you've listened to this podcast, you know we're not church bashers. We think the local church is amazing and powerful, which is why also we want to make sure the theology is
sound. I told my dad the other day, I was like, man, sometimes the most dangerous people are people who come out of Bible college, especially if they failed. Yeah. Now they're just critics. And so you have the church filled with anemic people and Bible critics, and it's becoming a huge issue.
Some stats on the anemic people. They did the study at Harvard, and they showed that fewer than half of the people at Harvard could name more than the four Gospels, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Really?
Yeah, half of
Harvard graduates. And Harvard is a school that was founded on biblical principles to teach people scripture. Half graduates of Harvard graduating not knowing the four Gospels.
Oh, it gets worse. Many Christians can't identify more than two or three of the disciples. 60% of Americans can't even name five of the Ten Commandments. Wow. A Barna poll indicated that at least 12% of adults believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife.
Wow.
This one's the worst. Another survey of graduating high school seniors revealed that over 50% thought that Sodom and Gomorrah were husband and wife.
Wow.
A considerable amount thought that the Sermon on the Mount was preached by Billy freaking Graham. I mean, how can we be disciples of Jesus when we don't even know who they are?
Let's be fair, though, too, because we might have some people in the canoe are like, well, some of those things were new to me. We're glad that you're with.
Yeah.
And we are not poking fun at you.
No.
What we are saying
is... Learn your Bible.
Learn your Bible. Like, we need to learn our Bibles.
You can't think right about human sexuality if you think Sodom and Gomorrah are a married couple.
Right.
Like, no wonder there's so much compromise. We don't know truth, and it's so important. Yes. We need to know it.
You want
to
survive this world. You want to swim through this world. Know your Bible. Number two, be involved in church. The church, the true church. I'm not talking about the churches with the genderless priest. I don't even know what the freak that is.
If they have a flag on their church, that's not a... My son, we went by a church down the street and then had a flag, and Brixton goes, is that a church? And I looked at him and said, that's not a church.
No,
that's not a church.
Yeah, it's just like a little gathering center that it will be a building, empty building sold
in
the very near future, which is sad. But the church, the true church, people who believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that is the remnant, that is your community, that is your family. Those are the people that you form friendships with. It is often messy, it is often frustrating, it is often awkward, but you embrace it because that is the remnant that God has given you, and that is the boat through which you go through the waters of this world. In fact, this is why I have I have a tattoo of a boat on my hand, because... The church, in the Roman Empire, like the early church, saw themselves as a boat that they're going through the waters of life.
That's
kind of like
you
a
have
canoe.
That?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like a canoe. It was early church graffiti because the church saw itself as a boat.
Yeah.
It's almost like Noah's Ark of like, we're going through just the storms of this world, but we are going through this together as a community, remnant together. Be part of the church.
And the last thing is be okay with being different.
Yeah.
We're in Babylon.
Yeah.
Right? We're foreigners kind of living in this land until we reach heaven. That's what we believe Christians.
It's I think I've mentioned this on this before. Maybe it's been a sermon. I don't remember, but it's one of my favorite things. In scripture, God has a nickname for his people, and it's called my peculiar people.
My peculiar people.
That's your nickname.
People.
If you are part of the remnant, God calls us peculiar people. We're just peculiar.
Yeah.
We look different. We're very different, and we have to embrace that. You cannot look like this world and be part of the remnant.
Yeah,
you have to be different. Not weird, but you're going to be peculiar.
And people might think you're weird.
Yeah, at times. But without trying to be weird, though, Jordan. Like, yeah, you and I were in Bible college. There are some people who are just like, you're so freaking weird and you're trying to be weird. Like, don't be so weird.
We should do a river next season. Normal river.
Yeah.
Well, how to
don't be weird.
how to be normal while still being weird.
Peculiar. Right.
Peculiar.
Yeah. It's almost like people should look at us and think like, I don't know if I can embrace what they embrace. Yeah. And I don't necessarily agree with what I agree with, but they're fascinating to me. They're people of unity. I kind of like it. I'm intrigued by it, but I don't know if I agree with it. That's how people should look at us.
And the way to do that is to also keep up your reputation. Be kind. Be a good worker. Be a servant.
Be a good friend.
Be a good neighbor. And what's going to happen is over time, even if people can't get behind what you believe, they can get behind you as a person.
Right.
And they can say, okay, you know what? Maybe what you believe is a bit out there, but they're just a good dude.
Yeah. Those Christians, I can't really agree with them, but I like living next door to them.
And you know what?
I'd hire them.
Heck, I want one of those Christians to marry my daughter.
That's right.
Right. Like, that's, even though you might have some wild convictions, if you have the heart that backs it, it makes it all worth it.
That's right. So, know your Bible, be part of the church, be okay with standing out and being different. Because the more this world turns, the more we have non-binary priests, whatever the heck that is, and drag queen preachers,
and you have
demon spawn,
demon spawn,
devil knocking up your mom shows on Disney Plus. It's just going to get worse. Let's stop mourning that. Our faith is not a funeral, so let's not make our faith into a funeral. Yes, we can mourn that. Yes, we can look at that and discuss. But at the end of the day, what we say is, I'm different. We're part of a remnant. We're going to rejoice that God has called us to something far more beneficial and something far better. And we celebrate that. And that is peculiar, but it's also fascinating to those around us. Foghorn.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 stars reviews.
Summertime review.
Yeah.
Summertime's here. Grass is getting long.
Oh, yeah.
Hedges need trimming.
And it's my favorite. I love doing yard work.
Love
For
it.
Real. Love. My wife even had a little intervention with me the other night. She was like, can you not obsess over our lawn as much
There's
as you did last year?
There's something about a man having a green grass that's a little bit more green than your neighbor's.
Oh, absolutely.
It just makes you feel
absolutely
like a man.
There's an old lady who lives next door. My lawn is so much darker greener than hers.
Okay, well.
It's the best. I beat her.
I'm not talking about widows.
I don't have like a
jerk.
Single weed. Except for in
Well, how about you go be a neighbor and help the sweet lady?
No, heck no.
I'm talking about other guys, like other dads.
I don't want her to be peculiar. I'm the peculiar one with a good lawn.
My word. Anyways, here's a little summer review for you. 2 years ago, I needed a new lawnmower, and so I went battery-powered.
Did you really?
The Ego lawnmower.
And is it nice? I've seen guys mowing with it, and I don't know.
Oh, why? Because it's quiet? Because you can hear a pin drop?
Yeah, it sounds like they're like weed whacking with a little mower.
No, it is awesome. Yeah. I absolutely love it. Huh. Granted, you only get 45 minutes. You got to do things pretty quick. But other than that, I love it. And I honestly, 5 stars,
no,
hands down.
Shut up.
Every season now, I get a new Ego product.
Wow.
I got the leaf blower. I got the weed whacker. I got the lawnmower, the snow blower. I got
Dang,
it all.
Wow. See, okay, I guess I can't make fun of you for having a battery-powered one because my mower is like one of those old 1950 ones with no motor or anything.
Dude, you totally
you just
would.
Push it. It's awesome.
It's
I
a,
love
you
got to
push one?
Yeah, I got to push one. It's a little bit of a workout, and I have to mow twice a week because if the lawn gets too high, you can't cut the grass.
So I may look a little girly with an electric one.
I look
one.
BA.
Yeah, but you don't. You
I look like a.
You just look poor.
No, I look like a BA man out of the 1950s.
You look
like,
poor.
Screw the gas engine and battery power. I'll cut this myself.
Dude, that poor widow's going to come over with her lawnmower and give it to you.
No, she mows. She has an electric one, but it's a plug-in. I've never seen that. She's got this extension cord.
I got a lady across the street, and she's a widow too, and she weed whacks with a giant extension cord. I went over to the house and said, hey, sweetie, you can borrow mine. And she said, no, this works great.
Well, that's nice of you, because sometimes I watch my neighbor, and I'm like, I'm waiting for her to blow herself up by, like, running over the cord.
Oh, man. 5 stars, Ego products,
right.
No extension cord.
Mine's a Fisker's reel mower. 6 stars, just to beat out Jordan. Well, that wraps up season 5.
That's a wrap.
What do you think? You think we'll do season 6? If we do, it would be August.
Be August. All right. If the people want it, we give them what they want.
All right.
But
so
if they want to sink the canoe, it's sunk.
Basically, here's where we're at. Jordan and I love being in the canoe with you. If you're out, that's okay. It was a great five-season run.
Great run.
If you're in for season six, let us know. Let us know by sharing. Let us know by sending us a message. We will do it.
Give us some fan mail. In. Let us know how we've changed your lives. We love y'all. Thanks for listening.
I got this extension cord.